o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ today. What a special day that you've come on both in the liturgical calendar and also because of our baptism this morning that we'll celebrate for little Levi who I saw earlier. He's so cute. Great to meet him. Wow. Blessed day. We celebrate also today the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord at the temple, which is a great day, you know, a great liturgical day for a baptism, the presentation of Jesus at the temple, the Simeon, and the Lord blessing Levi through the gift of holy baptism. So thanks so much for being here. You know, when we witness an infant baptism, I like to say that we're seeing almost a perfect picture of the gospel, because small babies, they can't do all the things that many Christians say you have to do to be saved. They're incapable of that, and yet we watch as God's grace is still poured out upon them, because it's Peter who said in the book of Acts, the promise is for you and for your children and for as many as the Lord thy God should call. And we get to be a part of that today, and we're overjoyed. I'm so glad that you made it. Hope that our service today is a break for you from the crazy that life has to offer, and you get to just sit and relax and be with Jesus for an hour or so this morning. Also, welcome those who are doing that via the radio. Thanks for joining us on the radio this morning. We're glad that you tuned in that way. And we'll begin our service, if the congregation would please stand, if you're able, with our hymn of invocation. It's hymn 605, Father Welcomes. Let's sing together, 605. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father, who is merciful God,
We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're ready for the baptism. Everyone can be seated. You guys ready?
You're doing great, buddy.
Over here, yeah. Perfect. Hey, guys. How's he doing? Is he good? Oh, yeah. Okay. Good, good. We are on page 268 in your hymnal. If you'd like to follow along with the service, that's where the rite is, page 268. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sin of the whole world, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is the baby to be named today?
Levi Miller Philly.
Levi Miller Philly. Beautiful. Levi, receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Levi according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in him which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself in his birth was born into would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 And what a blessing also to have Rachel as Levi's baptismal sponsor. It's so wonderful. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Levi as a sponsor in the Christian faith? If so, Rachel, say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work with his grace to fulfill what you are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Levi, the Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. This time we ask the questions, so I ask you all to respond to the questions as a family together. Levi, do you renounce the devil? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce him."
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Do you desire Levi to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
All right. Are we ready? Okay, let me hand this to Dad. Okay. Levi, Miller, Philly, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism and raised with him to new life in Christ. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and spirit and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Ready for the candle. Levi and family, receive this burning light to show that you receive Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. Amen. We are on page 271, and there is a response there for the congregation in the middle of the page. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Levi, a member of his Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with all of us to the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light.
Amen.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Levi the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Amen.
You can go back to your seat. We're on page 3 in the bulletin. We continue with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Before we get to our readings this morning, we did want to mention our children's sermon. We will have to wait to do that till next week when there's more children here to come up for the sermon. Don't want to make any of the kids that are here feel uncomfortable up here being the only ones. So we'll plan to do that next week. And our Old Testament reading for this morning, it comes from the book of 1 Samuel in the first chapter. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him, only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 2. "Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the world. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord," and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. We join together now singing hymn 594, "God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When's it going to be my turn? Have you heard that before? Have you felt that before? Have you said that before? When's it gonna be my turn? It's kind of a shorthand for our economic frustration, maybe. We also hear phrases like, I did everything right and still got nowhere. Or what's the point of working so hard if the ladder has already been pulled up? Because it is true in life, isn't it? That no matter how well we're doing, it's easier to focus on how much better someone else looks like they have it. And every spring, it always blows my mind as the tourists arrive in our area from Texas and Oklahoma and from all over the place. They come to our big, beautiful state where it's not 112 degrees and the concrete isn't sprawling. But what boggles my mind is, and I know you've seen this, some of the rigs that these guys drive up here. They're amazing. You've got like a, I don't know, $110,000 pickup truck, and it's hooked to a $150,000 fifth wheel, and behind that is $100,000 worth of toys on a trailer, and there's almost like $500,000 just rolling down the road. And they're able to stay all summer, it seems like. And you think, wow. We can't help it in our heart, but think, when's my turn? How did they do that? How can they afford that? This is a hidden question in many of our hearts as we break the 9th and 10th commandments and covet what our neighbors have. No fault on them, but maybe fault on us. As we speak, when's it going to be my turn in this disguised language of idolatrous worship? It's hard not to break the 9th and 10th commandments, isn't it? They don't get much focus. But thou shalt not covet basically thy neighbor's stuff. We've said it before, but I want to say it again this morning. Our entire economy is built on covetousness. They're marketing to you all the time, saying you don't have what will make you happy and successful. You need to, what? Buy it. Have you noticed this? Some people, they covet houses or remodels. And that's actually the 10th commandment for us. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Or for some, it's achieving some level of beauty, some skill in sports, some level of income, some vehicle, camper, boat, or etc. For some, it's a good retirement, notable prestige. There's all kinds of worldly ideas of what success looks like. Tons of them. But the thing I've noticed about success in the world is that, and tell me if you've noticed it too, it always seems to like lie just a little bit out of our reach. It's like, oh, the trends that often the students are chasing, right? They're going to dress this way. They're going to wear this brand. Why? Because it's cool and it's trendy, and adults do it too. Don't lie. But it's like the trends are moving so fast that you can't really catch up to them. As soon as you get that thing, it's not long before they're marketing something else to you. And we're just chasing this kind of moving target, right? Like the finish line in a race. It's out here and we run to it hard and then it moves. We can't ever finally get it. There's always going to be somebody who has more money than us or has more stuff than us or is more successful than us or looks better than us. Even if we do feel like for moments that we get a hold of this thing that we're chasing, it doesn't satisfy. Right? In this way, the sinful heart, it's like a black hole. You can just keep shoving stuff in it, and it just doesn't satisfy. We end up sacrificing, in a sense, to these idols. We give our blood, sweat, tears, and time to things that have no life. And those sacrifices will all one day be shown to be what they are, which is useless. It's always like the horse and the carrot. It's always like the wild goose chase. And we know really, really well what the world calls success, because we find ourselves often chasing it too. But this morning, just for a few minutes, on this celebration of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, I want to talk about what Jesus calls success, because it's very different than what the world calls. In our gospel reading this morning, there's an example of a man named Simeon, if you were listening during the reading of the gospel, who experienced success. He'd been waiting his whole life. This is verse 26 and 25 and 26 of Luke 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was waiting for this success. I want to call it that on purpose today. But when would it come? Well, that's what the reading's all about. Simeon's success arrives when he holds Jesus in his arms, in his hands. And you can hear it in verses 28 through 32. And he says, "And Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" For Simeon, watch this, success was a gift. Think about that. It couldn't be earned by him. It couldn't be bought or sold. Success in the world is a yard wide and a foot deep. And even what we work to earn our whole lives, it's hard for us to appreciate it for very long. And we're always being made discontent by marketing. They're just trying to sell us stuff. That's all it is. Jesus wants to show us today something different, a different kind of success, a real success. It's one that comes from him. It's one that thieves can't break in and steal. It's one that doesn't go bankrupt. It's a success that doesn't fade like beauty or disappear like many people's 401ks did. Suffice to say that even success cannot really be earned. It must be given. I love how Simeon doesn't go find Jesus, but Jesus shows up to him. Tell me that didn't happen this morning with Levi at the baptismal font. He just comes by grace and mercy. That's grace and mercy right there. No earning involved, none. Just mercy, just grace. I wanted to point this idea of success out in a different kind of way this morning. See, on the celebration of Jesus' presentation at the temple, we had our reading from Luke 2, but today is also one of the days in Epiphany that we celebrate, and there was a reading assigned for it too. And this is what that reading was. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. We know it as the Beatitudes. But this is exactly what Jesus is teaching here in the Beatitudes. So, just for the point, I messed with the word a little bit, with the words. Instead of saying blessed, because I think we often misunderstand, when we say blessed are the poor in spirit, then we think, oh, well, if I'm poor in spirit, then I'll be blessed. But that's completely backwards. It's actually, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, the poor in spirit, or those who mourn, or the meek, those have been blessed. That's the point. And this makes the point pretty clear when you hear it like this. Hear it this way, according to our idea of success. Successful are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Successful are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Successful are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Successful are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Successful are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Successful are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Successful are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And successful are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Successful are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is showing us something amazing in this text, and it's hard sometimes to see it, but God, only God, grants success. And the way he does it is not the way of the world. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. For the word, he says, of the cross, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross was success. Did it look like success? No, it did not. Not at all. It looked like the biggest epic failure possible for Jesus. They hailed him from the cross and said, if he's the Son of God, let him come down and save himself. They tempt him, those last moments of agony, with one last time of this disgusting idea of the world's success. But he remains faithful and true, and his words so sweet. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Does the fact that you haven't reached your definition of success in life make you feel weak? Like a victim, maybe? Have you been crying in your heart, when's it going to finally be my turn? Or striving to those ends? Careful, it's a trick. Real success is given. It is not earned. And success is given of God often look like a cross to us too. Like another person to care for or be patient with, or another time we have to admit we're wrong or ask for forgiveness or forgive somebody that we don't want to. This morning, God wants to show us all something amazing about this. That since Jesus and his seeming defeat at the cross was actually a success, it means that you and I too have already succeeded. Let that sink in for just a second. If we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he raised on the third day for our life in the heavens, we're already successful, friends. What are we beating ourselves up for? What are we hurting ourselves for? Life will keep trying to sell us dissatisfaction and make us feel like we need to go spend more money. And even some churches will teach this way about the gospel. And they'll say, here's the things you need to do. It is all one color, that stuff. False. The truth is, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to earn anything, and you don't have to achieve anything to succeed when it comes to God. Success was won for you at the cross and the resurrection through the word of faith in Jesus. And if you believe it, there's a place in heaven for you. And if you believe it, just like Simeon, you'll hold Jesus in your hands at the Lord's table and receive the very life of God. This is success the world cannot give. It's one that doesn't change with the stock market. And it's already ours. by the word of faith in the waters of baptism. To sum it up simply, we can say it this way: in Christ, we've already succeeded. And it's from that place of victory that Jesus gives us for free that we go forth and do anything at all. Anything at all is from that place of success already. Remember our question: when's it going to be my turn? Right now, it's your turn. Because the Lord has given us great things to do with this message that we have. He's not just given it to us that we might hide it under a bushel, but that it might be set upon a stand and give light to the whole house. The Lord wants us to share this success with everybody we can. That's why he says, go into all nations, baptizing and teaching. And it's why he tells us in Colossians to not set our sights on these things on the earth, but to set our sights on heavenly things. And why Jesus keeps reminding us that the treasures on earth, no, treasures in heaven. Think about it. When Simeon held Jesus in his hands, it was his success. When we hold him in our hands, it's our success. It's all a blessed gift that we get to receive that kind of thing this morning and each and every day through the Word. So if life has had you on that wild goose chase or chasing that carrot, which it's had us all at times, remember the words of your Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And realize, he succeeded for you, and his success will never be broken. We end with the words of Simeon, verse 29 through 32. Lord, now you're letting your servants depart in peace, according to your word. For our eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We've been doing something a little different with our creed. We're on the second part of the Athanasian Creed. We confessed the first part of the Athanasian Creed last week, and so we're on part two now, so we invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith to part two of the Athanasian Creed. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is mighty, the Holy Spirit almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity and unity and the unity in Trinity is to be worshiped. Amen. Please be seated. We come to our time for our prayers of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God and Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you have called us to good work in our various vocations. Give us courage that we might never be ashamed of Christ and him crucified, but be free to boast in the Lord within our callings, aware of the success you've already given us. Lord, in your mercy. God of all wisdom, you tell us plainly that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but it is your power to all who are being saved. Strengthen the faith of all pastors and congregations, that they would not turn to man-made wisdom, but boldly proclaim Christ and him crucified. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son as the Savior of the world, that all the families of the nations might worship before you. Bless the families of this congregation with your grace and protection, that they might remember you both in joy and trouble and worship before you forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of lords, you rescued your people from Egypt and confounded Balak, the king of Moab, for their protection. Guide the decisions and the actions of all earthly authorities, that your people may live in peace and quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, when Christ returns in his glory, you promise to wipe away every tear from every eye. Comfort those who mourn, O Lord. Heal and deliver according to your good and gracious will those troubled by all kinds of sickness and affliction. We name before you this morning from the altar Lucy, Buzz and Christy Walsh, Devin Connor, Pastor Dan Kletke, Jim Holman, the family of Don Hermanson, Wendy Vest, Teresa O'Haver, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howey, Jeff Autopolic, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Senesteven. Lord, be with the family of Betty Patent at her passing. Strengthen and comfort them. And Lord, also bless and protect and be with Sonny Rumler. Lord, be with the saints at St. John's, Canyon City. Strengthen them and all the churches in Pueblo, Lord, we lift up to you today as well. Lord, continue with St. John's in Salt Lake City, Grace in Moab, Emmanuel in Artesia, New Mexico, and in Roswell, New Mexico. And Lord, continue, especially this week, with our synodical president, Matthew Harrison, Lord, as they face the troubles that have come to light recently within the Synod. Strengthen them, and Lord, give them your grace and your wisdom, and lead them according to your will. And Lord, also hear the prayers of all of us that are gathered this morning, as we name them silently in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy. God of all righteousness, you command us to be holy as you are holy, and you sanctify us with your Son's body and blood. Prepare the hearts of all those who would partake of the sacrament today, that they might repent of their sin, trust in your promises, and find their righteousness not in themselves, but in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, you know the way of the righteous. Preserve your people from walking in the counsel of the wicked, from standing in the way of sinners, and from sitting in the seat of scoffers. But by your grace, cause us to delight in your holy word. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented today, we enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. You've been joining us on the radio. We thank you for tuning in this morning. We wish you the Lord's grace and blessing upon your week. And may he point out to you the ways that he is bringing his success that maybe you didn't see before. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to stand and turn over to page 9 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.